Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solution Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
That's not why we're here today.
We're here to talk about gifting, giving, peace, and how it can save lives, and of course, encompassing all of that with travel. You know, I find, and I say this all the time, that travel is a healer. It is an educator. It is a support that you can have to get relief in your everyday mundane situation that you find yourself in. Whenever we get a little extra income, what do we always want to do? Travel. Everybody always wants to travel. And you can apply travel to any situation. I challenge you today to give us a call or give us a little notation in the chat room that if you have something that you don't understand how to relate that to travel and you want to challenge me into putting something together for you or just sharing how you can relate that situation to travel, give us a call. If you want to just fellowship with us and join into the conversation, you have some updates. You know, this is not just a one-way conversation. If you have some information that you want to share with those around the world about the importance on gifting, giving, peace, and travel, please, please, please call in 515-605-9325. Again, our number is 515-605-9325, and just press 1. So we'll know that you want to share in the conversation. We always have an exciting conversation, and I want to thank our executive producer of the Female Solution television radio show, Ms. Naima Latif. Thank you for all of your support and putting this together. And I apologize. It's the Female Solution Global radio TV show. Global. Do you know what global is? Global means around the globe. Now, eventually, we're going to extend that to all of the satellites and the space stations in the atmosphere. And they may be able to hear us. Technology has it that you can get information in many different ways. So if you're in the space station and you can communicate with us today, please, I implore you to reach out. Now, some folks may be on the line and say, oh, she's really far-fetched with this. No, I'm not. There are many people living in outer space right now. They just don't make it as informational to us lay people as they can, but those folks in the science and technology industry and astronomics industry, they know there are many people that are in space stations around the atmosphere and out of the atmosphere. You know, they talk about light years. How many light years does it take to get to somewhere else?
That's right.
They start talking in the hundreds. Can you imagine hundreds of light years? That's more than just
a long time.
A year. Light years. That means that the time that you're in a fellowship or in the presence of the sun, light.
That's right.
Yes. So there's, you know, pay attention. Pay
right.
attention and educate your children because they are the future. And this is the future.
Yes.
Astronomics is part of the future, so
right.
be about the business of putting your children in a position where they can compete with the rest of the world.
That's right. If you haven't seen that movie, Cosette with the three women, Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures.
Yes, those women, they were calculating. This is before the sophisticated computers. Now, they were calculating those figures by their mind, those figures that had to do with space flight and velocity. And those astronauts, they put their lives in the hands of those black women that could calculate that mathematics, that you're talking about astrophysics and everything else. So when you all see the name change to the Female Solution Universal radio TV show, that means we've reached out there in the universe and we're communicating with some of our people out there in the stars. So just look for it.
And as soon as one of them taps in to our communication,
that's right,
and let us know that they are listening and learning,
that's right,
then you can change the name.
That's right.
It's coming. It may not be in our lifetime.
Yeah.
We may not be able to see it.
Right. Or it might be next week. You never know.
What we do here is we try to, and we have to, build generational wealth and generational knowledge.
Yes.
We have to stop thinking and repeating the same lifelong curses that we were born into.
Yes.
Do not allow your future to repeat the same challenges that you had to repeat.
Absolutely.
You have the tools. You just may not know about the tools. And when you come here to the Female Solution, each and every day, there's an opportunity. And I don't think we stop for the holidays.
Right. We keep on going.
You know, so you can, while you're cooking that Christmas dinner or that Kwanzaa feast or that New Year's folly, you can still tune in to the Female Solution.
That's right.
And get some absolutely updated and life-changing information. Or, again, like I say, you can chip in and share what you have for your thoughts on life-changing information.
Mm.
So, like I said, we're talking about giving and gifting. We have to be purposeful about giving and gifting. You find so many folks that are giving so much, and it's publicized and right now because of the holidays. And we're not wanting to take away anything from those gifts or from those folks giving during this time because it is needed. I challenge you to give all the time. You see, that's what we're talking about, and we're going to tap into Kwanzaa, our next session. But I want you to know and understand the principles of Kwanzaa. And no matter what nationality, no matter what religion, no matter what culture, Kwanzaa is a lifestyle. The principles of Kwanzaa is a lifestyle. Now, of course, Kwanzaa is a Swahili name that was, I believe, the first. I'm not real versed in Swahili.
Umoja.
A symbolism of the first.
Yes.
And we're taught all the time, you pay, when you get paid, you pay yourself first, you know, or you pay your tithes first. And sometimes now folks are paying others first, gifting off of their first. But Kwanzaa is seven principles of lifestyle. So again, I want you to focus on Kwanzaa. Christmas is good, but Christmas is a Hallmark moment. The meaning of Christmas is so far-reaching now, I want to give, I've got to give this. I've got to go out and get this last gift. I've got to do this. No, you don't. What about giving in January?
Right.
What about giving in February?
Yes.
What about giving at other milestones?
Yes.
What about just giving when you have a little extra to give? How
yes.
about that? Folks need giving then.
Yes.
When I pack now, I've learned that the items, the clothing and the jewelry that I may take with me, if I lose it, hopefully I pray that someone who finds it and doesn't get in touch with me to give it back to me, they needed it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at that. When you lose, even if you lose money, and folks say, oh, my God, I lost this. If it's gone, it's gone. Now, if you find it again, that's good. But if it's gone, it's gone. And just hope that whoever found it
really needed it. You know, that changes a whole lot of the anxiety. If you think that you blessed somebody with something they really needed, and you might have saved a life even with that $20 that, you know, somehow disappeared out your pocket that had a hole in it, you know, and you can mourn the loss. You can think, you know, this might have fed somebody's family. So this was the answer to somebody's prayer. So it's not lost. It was found by who needed it. So I was able to be a blessing.
And I think, isn't that other dimension that we talk about?
Yes.
That I'm still trying to learn.
Yes.
Put yourself in that position. One, you're not stressed anymore.
Right.
So now you're not demeaning or down or tearing down your system.
Right.
Because
right.
You're
at
peace. Stress, what stress kills.
Yes.
And it doesn't take much sometimes. It's
mm-hmm.
gone.
That is right. That is right.
You have to put yourself in a most comforting lifestyle for not only you, but for those who are watching you.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised who's learning, who's sitting back and may see you as you commute every day. You may ride the same train, and there's somebody sitting in the back and hear you on your conversations, on your phone calls, or just your demeanor and how you greet or others on the train. And they learn from that. That is something that is so, so wealth building that you can really save a life. When we take our mask off and we start smiling, you can save a life.
Mm-hmm.
or saying something, you bump into someone, and don't just, because you're busy hustling and bustling, and you run into them, apologize. Or you may run into someone, somebody may run into you and not realize it. They're in another land.
Yeah, in another zone, yeah.
And they don't realize it and was not intentional.
Right.
It was not intentional. But if you realize, okay, you may say something, okay, you want to say excuse me, and if they do, great. If they don't, let it go.
And sometimes you can make it into a moment of humor. You know, humor can diffuse a whole lot of stress, and sometimes just to joke about something, that just relieves a whole lot of tension in the air. It changes the vibration of the people around you. People can relax more. So sometimes if you just choose to not take things so seriously and just laugh and let people relax without feeling like everything is going to end up a angry confrontation, just laugh it off. And it'll be okay.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
And that's where you can grow peace.
Yes.
Here's how we're going to tie in peace with gifting. Yes. You are, when you give to someone who is in need, they become peaceful because they no longer need that particular thing.
Yeah.
So now their anxieties are much lower. When they find something that you lost and they were scuffling around not knowing where the next meal is,
mm-hmm.
now there's peace. So when they react to the next person, they're in a peaceful mode.
Yes. They
there
pass it on. Yes.
You see how this trickle-down effect
That's
can
right.
be? And if we share more of those attitudes and philosophies, we can definitely put a dent in the peaceful situation that the world needs to be in.
Absolutely.
I see so many articles on how the statistics have risen with folks getting hurt or losing their lives or just being scared, the bejesus is scared out of them because of something that they see or hear. If we can just turn some of that around, we can turn those statistics around to be more peaceful.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about how we got having more kumbaya moments and more success stories. Because if you're at peace, now you're thinking more positive.
Yeah.
And we can grow and build on the positivity of the world. That's where peace is all full circle. And, of course, while you're traveling, and I'm not talking about traveling across the waters, or you could travel right in your own neighborhood. As you move around folks, this is the joy that you have to bring. You are in charge. And I heard someone say the other day, our prime purpose in life is to help others. If you can't help them, don't hurt them. Just think about that. Our prime purpose in life is to help others. That's part of that be fruitful and multiply.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, being fruitful and multiply did not necessarily mean having reproducing children. It's reproducing life and reproducing it more abundantly. So if you can't help others, then don't hurt them. Zip it. Keep it. If you've got an attitude and you think you're going to go from 1 to 10.5, just don't say anything. Let it go.
That is so critical.
Stop at you.
Yes.
I'm raising saying.
Yes.
Say you can't do it.
You know what, people will, they will say things like, well, I'm not going to let them get away with saying this. I'm not going to let them get away with saying that. You're not letting anybody do anything. What you're doing is choosing to maintain control of yourself. You're empowering yourself to control the situation instead of reacting to something someone else did, and then you create an unnecessary, unpleasant experience.
Right. And all you had to do was not say anything.
Yes.
Diffuse the situation.
Diffuse.
We don't hear more about conflict resolution. We're not taught, and we're not teaching, and we're not just teaching the children.
Grown folks. We need to learn it because people are always thinking that they have to defend their ego. Pride, you know, yeah, I'm not going to let you look at me like that. I'm not going to let you talk to me like that. Well, some things really aren't important, especially, like you say, you're on your way someplace. You're traveling. You're going to be gone from that spot in just a few seconds. And this one-moment encounter, a bump into somebody or something so insignificant. And rather than you just move on with your life, you're going to stop and create a scene and create a conflicting argument when you could have just let it go and your life would not have changed. But now you create an incident, which was unnecessary. And what did it do?
Now you might have a life-changing situation.
And that's what happens. You make one decision, and it can change your whole life. Just think of how many people got into fights over some silly thing, and then they got arrested, and it's just awful. It's a whole thing, you know, over something that could have been.
About that very thing.
Yes.
Where I traveled here recently in the airport, and I'm going to give some travel tips in after our commercial break. But that is exactly what happened with me. So everybody is not perfect. And if it had not been for these young ladies who were assisting me as I traveled, I might have been in a situation. Because somebody was trying to make me go from 1 to 10.5.
Oh, my.
Wait.
Yeah. You'd be in the wrong mood and they push that button and woo.
Right. So you have to be in control. You do not allow anyone else to control you.
Right.
Because when you get angry and upset about what somebody else says or does, that's what you're doing. You're giving them power.
Yes.
Is that what you really want to do? Give somebody else power? That's actually what you're fighting about.
Yes. You're giving away power.
You're saying, I'm not going to let them do that. Well, you are.
Yeah, you just did. Yes.
And you don't know what they're going through. They might have had a bad moment. They might have been going through a lifestyle change where it is really weighing heavy on their mind and they don't know which way to go. All they know is, I had to be here. And now here comes this person with an attitude and I just can't take it anymore. And I snap.
Yes. So many people are living on the edge. They're living in a state of constant stress where anything can trigger an explosion.
Yes.
And that's a dangerous way to live because that means you're constantly giving away your power to other people to push your buttons, to pull your string, and you're constantly reacting instead of being in control of your own emotions. But when you're living on the edge all the time, always on high alert, always tense, then you lose control, and it happens so easily. And then that one moment where you decide you're going to cuss out somebody or hit somebody, and then next thing you know, your whole life has changed in that one instant. And it happens all the time. Most of the time when people react and they do something that they shouldn't or say something they shouldn't, and then they get another kind of response they didn't expect, it's in that moment.
It builds.
Yeah. So what is it our friend Dr. Debbie, our sister Dr. Debbie always says, the power of pause. Just pause for a moment before you react. And think that 1 second that you're about to do something stupid that could change your life. Just pause. Freeze.
I'd rather be silent.
Yes.
Than angry.
Yeah.
And some people say, well, you don't have nothing to say? Not right now.
Yep, not right now.
But again, we're always in a teaching mode. We're learning and we're teaching forever. So think about what you're teaching your children who are looking up to you and saying that you, my parents, they know everything. So if this is how they do it, I'm going to emulate them. And this is how I should do it. So now when I'm in the playground and someone bumps into me or did not throw the ball at me in a favorable manner, this is how I'm going to react to it.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a confrontation, an accusation, and next thing you know, a verbal battle, which could turn physical.
And now they don't know how to verbally battle.
Yes.
They go to weapons.
Yes.
And deceit and just demonic mind thoughts. Because they don't know the conflict resolution. They don't know how to pause. Mm. They're not taught how to pause.
Right.
That's why they don't know.
Right.
It's not, that's what it is. They're not taught.
Not taught. Right.
And not only children, but adults.
Adults. Because the children learn it from adults. Yeah, well, we got to take a break. And if you're on our switchboard now, got a comment you want to make, press 1. Have you ever gone someplace, maybe a different kind of place, and maybe the culture was a little different, and here you came with your American attitude, and maybe you did something that offended somebody, and they responded in a way you didn't expect. Tell us about that. Well, we'll be right back after this quick break, and if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak to our host. And if you are joining us live on Facebook and want to add your comments, just write them in, and we'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
About finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down to earth. Solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Do you or your organization need space for an event? Call the Quarry Event Center at 2423 East 75th Street in Chicago. For your parties, banquets, award ceremonies, repasses, concerts, and business seminars, available 7 days a week, now under new management. Call us at the Quarry at 773-663-2557. That's 773-663-2557.
Well, this is not how it was before.
Yeah, well,
I've never experienced
caller on the line. We can open the mic. And if you're on our switchboard and want to join this conversation, just press 1, and that will raise your hand up. We know you got something to say. Let's go to area code 863-816 and
welcome.
Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give your thoughts.
Yeah, L.A., Central Florida. Let me preface it. I'm an American. Let me put that out there first. When I go traveling, I really don't like to go to places that have other Americans.
Really? Why is that?
Because typically, in a few instances where I run into a crowd of Americans, I'm trying to use the word there. I'm trying to use it. No, I'm American. They were over the top, just loud and off the chain and rude. I was in Munich once at the World Games, and you can tell who the Americans were. They were just obnoxious. So typically, now when I travel, once again, I'm American. Typically, when I travel, I just keep a low profile. I'm with the locals. And I learn how they behave and act. And then, you know, see where I might fit into, you know, to that thing. And also try to pick up a little bit of the language while
that
I'm
helps.
There also. Because they have a tendency to respect you more when you can spread out just a little bit of the language. So, yeah, but with me, with traveling internationally, I try to go to places where there's little, or you don't even see them.
So, you don't want to be around Americans.
And I'm an American. But,
I understand.
And it's okay, because you go somewhere for the difference.
Right.
If
you wanted to be somewhere with like people like you, you stay in your geographical area. But you want to go somewhere else to experience
different culture.
And
right.
I love it. I remember going to New Orleans short period of time, several years ago, and I came back with a New Orleans drawl, just an accent.
You were there a while, huh?
I loved it.
I was from New Orleans. You know, that
one thing one thing I've noticed now in my travels, like let's say if I make a trip over to Europe, which I've gone over there several times, in a social situation, like for instance, for me going from the States to anywhere in Europe, you know, for me, that's my vacation.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you're going over there and you know, you're meeting other people on a social basis, a lot of Europeans, they like to go to other countries. So I've learned, okay, if I'm going to Europe and I'm meeting up with friends, more than likely I need to have enough money, because if they want to run to Austria or Italy or another part of Europe, then I need to have enough money to cover that. Now, if I go over to Asia, then now they'll pay for their part, but I just need to have enough money to make the trip with them. Because they haven't gone anywhere. They're forgetting about the trip that you've made. They're just concerned with the trip that you guys are going to make together in another part of the world. So, but when I go over to someplace like Asia, I've learned that when you take somebody out, taking their family out. In my experiences. But the dollar really multiplies more over in, you know, many parts of Asia. So, you know, I might spend $20-$25, but I'm feeding 5 to 7 people at a place that they want to go to, and everybody's happy. So things like that, you know.
It's good to know the protocol, you know, when you ask somebody out and then they show up with 5 other family members. You know, and it's good to know that this is what you're doing if you're treating that. You know, it's expected that you feed the family.
Yeah, right. You know, they expect it. That's the thing they expected.
And there's certain levels of hospitality that is expected, like, you know, places where you go and they feed you, you are expected to eat it. And sometimes people unknowingly offend their host when they refuse the food, thinking, oh, I don't want them to think I'm greedy or I don't want to eat too much, when in fact they want you to eat because that's a sign of, you know, respect, I guess, or appreciation.
Right.
So it's good to know what the customs are. Now, what you said about, you know, Americans behaving badly, that reminds me, a family member went to, I think it was Malaysia several years ago, and, you know, the way the custom was, everybody shares the food, you know, they put it all in one big circle, and everybody sits around in the circle, and, you know, you share your food, you know, pass the bowls around, everybody takes their share. Well, she was noticing that the Americans were so aggressive and just grabbing stuff and getting more than their share, and just, you know, and the Malaysians were just so, you know, kind of meek and timid, just, you know, allowing them to be rude and take over the food. And it was definitely an American thing, this whole aggressiveness where, you know, you take because people aren't telling you to stop. So,
right.
You know, just in her observation, she realized, you know, this is really bad manners. But, you know, just because somebody is timid doesn't mean you take advantage of them or are rude or just, you know, overlook their share of whatever you're supposed to be sharing, you know. So a lot of times American aggression, which we might value because we think it's good to be bold, it can really be insulting other places where people have learned to step back and wait their turn or you know, offer somebody else to go first, and we think, oh, I'm supposed to, you know, grab all I can. That's the American way. So, yeah.
The privileged way, huh?
Yeah, the privileged way, and it's very rude and arrogant, and you don't even know that until you observe a different culture, and then you see not everybody acts like that. That's why it's good to travel and observe the differences.
There is a difference. There is truly a difference. And when you travel, you should be more aware of the culture. When you travel to the United Emirates, you need to know the culture.
Yes.
Because in some cases, you can be arrested and charged with some things that are just blasé here in the United States, but even something as comfortable as holding hands with your spouse, you cannot do that in some areas.
Yeah, and you don't know that because I think in China they're very observant about people not being physical, you know, not engaging in physical displays of affection that could be viewed as sexual. In a lot of other places in the world, you might think, well, it's not our business. But people have different levels of what they consider appropriate public behavior. And
right.
You can't sit there and argue and say, well, I got a right to do this, I got a right to do that. No, here we don't do that. And you have to be respectful. You have to comply with what people's ways are because they have a right, the collective group of people has decided this is what we are comfortable with. You can't come in here with your American behind and decide to do what you want to do and offend everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because in some places it is against the law.
Yeah.
And you cannot utilize your privilege card because
yes.
You are an American in a foreign land and say, oh, well, that does not comply for me.
Right.
It
means you
You're
can.
Here. What was the purpose of you coming here?
Yeah. You're going to act like you feel at home. So, L.A., have you ever been to a place where the culture was so different and maybe you did something you didn't know was inappropriate and someone said, oh, what are you doing? Has that ever happened to you?
Well, in one case, it was just me and a friend of mine. We were chopping wood, which is something I didn't do over here. Because in this part of, it was Germany, to be specific. You know, a lot of people over there, once you get outside of the big cities like Frankfurt and Munich and Berlin, a lot of people live a village lifestyle. So they go out and chop their wood to get through those winters. So I took the axe and, you know, I was started to chop some wood. We're in a basement at this time. But they had to correct me and say, no, you don't chop that, because if you do that in front of other people, you'll be embarrassing and all this other stuff. So I had to learn how to chop wood. And then soon after that, it was the wrong way. I had to cut it with the grain and all, you know, how you hold the axe and all this other stuff. So, because once again, I had never, first thing over there, it was normal to chop wood to heat your home. Over here, I'm just flicking a switch on the thermostat. They didn't relate to that. You know, they didn't. What I learned was, when in Rome, or wherever you might be, or Timbuktu, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. So I had to learn how to chop wood, and then soon after that, one of the friends I made over there came by the house one morning, and he needed somebody to help him chop wood. So instead of saying no, because I really socially couldn't say no, to keep my social capital up, I spent like over half the day in that cold European climate chopping wood, because that's what friends do in that part of Europe.
Wow, it's good to know.
Stuff like that. So on a big picture of it, I learned, don't say this is what we do in America, because they don't live there and they could care less. You need to learn what they do there and do it. And then also learn how to leave, like, certain things that we might talk about on the Female Solution or It's My House or any American talk show or whatever, a podcast. Any kind of social issues that we have here, leave it at the border.
Ooh.
Leave it at the border, because they could care less, because they have their own social issues.
Mm-hmm.
So, and on that, with their social issues, shut up and listen. Don't have no opinion. Because I found out, I was sitting in a conversation once where, now, mind you, I'm the only black person in the room and the only American, Westerner in the room. So you do have Westernized Germans, which is, they're Central Europeans. But for some reason, people that live in Western Europe and Central Europe look down on people that live in Eastern Europe. You know, people that live in Poland, Moldova, Russia, those places, they look down. I thought I was in the middle of a Klan meeting, talked about Eastern Europeans. But once again, I had no opinion, did nod my head. I was totally expressionist, because it was socially, it was not my place, and I wanted to keep my social, my capital in good standing by just, I was just sitting there. That was it.
So I'll
leave American social issues at the airport. Matter of fact, I leave them at home. We don't even get it to the airport. I don't talk about reparations. Leave it all back here.
You know, that's important to know. Because not everybody talks openly about politics or criticize their leaders or makes little mean jokes about the politicians. Not everybody does that, and that could be seen as extremely rude, extremely inappropriate, and a lot of times Americans will go places and engage in conversation that could be illegal somewhere else. So we really, I agree with L.A., sometimes it's best just keep your mouth shut, because not all conversation is appropriate.
It's a strange situation. It is.
It is such a difference. You know, matter of fact, I saw a movie just this morning. I finally got through the movie because some movies are so controversial and so full of violence that I don't look at it. But 1917 was a movie that I saw. And one scene of this movie really kind of touched me. It was one soldier had won a medal, and the other soldier was so excited. Now, he hadn't just won that medal, but everybody knew that this first soldier, soldier number one, had this medal. So these two soldiers were out in the field, and they were just talking, getting from one point to another. And the soldier number two was admiring the fact that soldier number one had won this medal. And soldier number one said, well, I don't have it anymore. And so I can't show it to you. He said, well, why don't you have it? Soldier number two said, why don't you have it? He said, because I got rid of it. He said, what do you mean you got rid of it? He said, yes, I traded it for a bottle of wine.
What?
He said, why would you do that? That it was such an esteemed honor, and you should never have dishonored your country or your people by giving it away for a bottle of wine. And the guy said, well, it wasn't as important to me.
Ooh.
But that showed, even in the same country, in the same war, the two variations of understanding. And I could see, if it had went on and on, I could see a big shift in how this soldier number two thought about soldier number one. You know, it just knocked him off in his pedal.
You gave away a medal? I mean, that's something you save for, you know, your children and grandchildren. Your medal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, our...
I was thirsty.
Yeah.
It wasn't that important for me. And they were, you know, from different ideals. And that is so true. You don't know how you would affect someone else's belief by doing what you do. And when you're going from one country to another or one culture to another, and you're making statements and doing different challenges, how it could be really disruptive to that culture. It could be insulting.
Yeah.
And again, Americans feel as though we are privileged.
Mm-hmm.
We are above, no matter what your culture or your thoughts are, what we say has to be. Well, maybe at one time you could have thought that, you could have got away with it, but not anymore.
Not now.
No. And folks are passionate about their passions.
Yes, they are. They are
extremely passionate. You know, as L.A. was talking, I came to mind the difference in a hotel and a hostel.
Ooh.
You know how everybody always wants the best rate.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be careful when you're comparing a hotel and a hostel in another country.
And before we take a break, can you explain what a hostel is for those who may not know what's a hostel?
I'm not real versed on hostels, but they are more community property as far as when you go to a room, you're renting a bed.
I had that experience. When we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you all my Chinese experience. And I guess it was a hostel. It was interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, talk about some cultural differences. Yeah, I have to share that with you all. So we'll be right back. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. And we'll come back and share some comments from our Facebook viewers. And, of course, we've got another caller on the line. So 773-487. Hold on, we'll be right back after this quick break. So stay
with us. All right. And
oops. This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships for introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced. And we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Like that, and you're sharing. It with other people of other religions, nationalities, languages, sometimes the communication is just a smile, because everybody can smile. And you have to be respectful of everyone else who you're sharing that dormitory-like setting with. And, of course, you share in the washroom. So, but hostels are so much more inexpensive when you travel as compared to a hotel. So a lot of times when folks are looking for a sale and they see hostel and they're not really paying attention, they think they see hotel and they book it and then they get to where they're going, their destination, and they find that it's not what they thought it was. Don't let your American privilege get the better of you. Here is where peace comes into play, and relaxation, that's what you need to focus on, because as LA was indicating, it's such a difference in culture when you're going across the world or around the world, and there are even different cultures when you're going across the country.
Absolutely, yes.
You go into the Amish.
Oh, yes. I mean, that's like going into a whole different country, and they definitely have some protocols of behavior. Of course, with Zelda, our Monday host says, grand afternoon, beautiful queen sisters. Yes, grand afternoon to you. She says, peace is necessary at home before we can even leave home, and that's true. And she says, I don't think I want to fly. Too many incidents in the air. She preferred driving or the train. No hurry at this point. Life is too precious. Peace, be still.
You know, you still have to be careful. Now, you're
yeah,
right.
I like trains better myself.
Home is right here.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, she said she loves the Kwanzaa background and your new hairdo.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Love my beads. Be all heaven.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So
thank
now,
you.
Before we take a call, just want to tell you all this quick experience I had in China. I had an opportunity to have a layover in China. I was leaving South Korea where I was visiting my daughter. I think also I went to an HWPL Global Peace Summit, which was great, of course. And then coming back, my flight was going through China, and I was going to spend a night in China. And when I finally got to my place, I guess it was a hostel because it was, and my daughter, she had arranged it for me because she wanted me to have an authentic Chinese experience, you know, cultural experience. So it was a place where I was renting a bed, and the room had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, it was bunk beds. So I think there were 6 beds, you know, 2 sets of bunk beds. Oh, no. 3 sets of bunk beds, and I had the bottom bunk at the place. And it was interesting because, I mean, you know, you have to sort of be friendly to people because you're sharing this space, you know. And the bathroom did not have the toilet as we know. It was basically a hole in the floor. So if you can't squat, you in trouble. But, you know, it was an interesting experience. You know, you had the hole in the floor, and then you had the shower, you know. You just figure out how to manage all of that. And the thing about that is that, you know, people are going to know that you're a foreigner because you look different.
Yeah.
But there is a level of friendliness and yet distance, because you do have to give people their sense of privacy even though you're on top of each other, and yet you can't ignore people because it's rude. So you have to sort of know how to manage that in between friendly yet distant and respecting your space kind of a thing. And so that was an interesting cultural experience, definitely. And then when I got ready to go to the train the next morning, I had kind of lost my way in terms of the direction of where the subway station was, and I was and there were bicycles, you know, because everybody, a lot of people travel by bike, and you know, you might park your bike at the train station. So I'm walking down the street, and I'm constantly, you know, dodging people whizzing past me on a bicycle. And I guess I'd walked back and forth, and I was looking kind of lost. So someone, you know, this Chinese person said, "Are you lost?" And I said, "Well, I'm trying to get to the train." So he said, "Well, wait one minute." He went and got somebody who spoke enough English to explain to me where the train was. And I was very grateful, you know, and then they, of course, they want to take pictures of me, picture, you know, so everybody went to do selfies and stuff, which was interesting also. But I did get to my train and got to the airport. But, you know, the whole thing and being in a place where there's so many people, you learn how to create your own personal space because you don't have a lot of physical space. And yet at the same time, you learn how to acknowledge other people's presence so that you're not being rude. And
yes.
And that's something that I've learned.
Humility comes into play.
Yes. Yes. Must be humble. Absolutely. We got a couple of calls on the line here. Let me go first to 773-487 and then 773-977. You're next, so hold on. So 773-487, give us your name, your comments, and where you're from.
Okay, this is Koofy. I'm actually in Michigan today.
Okay.
I just came into the queue about maybe 20 minutes ago. So you guys were talking about foreign traveling and dealing with that.
Yes.
Yes.
You're traveling out of the city, which is a little different than your, you know, usual place. So what has your experience been?
Well, I mean, I appreciate traveling to other states. I'm an American. I'm Native American. I'm indigenous. So you all hear a whole different conversation from me on how I view life and love this country. I'm actually working on land patents, getting black people back their land. I've been successful three times.
So Koofy, have you found a difference in behaviors in people from certain states, like difference in the East Coast from the West Coast or difference from the North and the South? Have you found cultural differences within the land of America, maybe based on, you know, the history of what has happened in different spots, or even maybe the northern parts like Montana and so forth, where a lot of Native American families are living or have been forced to live? Have you had different experiences in different states?
Well, yeah. I'm down in Arizona. But, like, getting back to who I am, I stopped talking for we. I stopped talking about I. Being me as a native, wherever I go in America, I'm received and I'm accepted. Actually, people come up to me and they go, "Sir, you know who you are, don't you?" I go, "What do you mean?" "You know that you're an islander. We can tell the difference in you. You have a peaceful position about yourself." I go, "You're certainly right." And it's like, why don't the rest of your people have that? I go, "Because they don't understand." So wherever I go in America, America has a spirit. And guess who creates that culture? Black people do. Because we're the natives. Our culture is exuded all over the world. Look at hip hop. They wearing baseball hats. Get hip hop in China, Africa. The whole world looks at us for culture. Our music. You look at our music. You got the blues. We had hard times. We had jazz when we down in New York and Chicago created jazz music. Louisiana, you got the gully music down there. That's cultural, you know. Then you have the comedic, or you have the gospel music. All that came out from us. And
so Koofy,
I walk in pride.
Koofy, what would you say people observe about you that you say they would see that there is a difference than maybe the usual right. American attitude? What is it that you're doing that is different?
My conversation, my conversation, my talk, my look, my demeanor, my eyes are all in order. You know,
okay.
They know. See, everybody know who we are, but our people. You know, we talking about being woke. You can be woke, but they can put you right back to sleep. But when you know who you are, you can never put a person like back to sleep. So it's just my demeanor, my peaceful position. You know, I'm not walking around here thinking I'm a slave. I'm not walking around fearing anything, you see, because my ancestors are protecting me. Even my own people see the difference in me. But you know, my business, I work for international people. I work for foreigners for the last 30 years. I rarely have a black customer. All of my customers are foreigners. And they just enjoy my peaceful presence when I come in. And then they know that I am a part of, I am an indigenous, like an indigenous tree. They know that, and they view me like that. They know, they go, man, you know who you are. Wow. And they just enjoy being around that. It's like I'm a sponge. And they want to absorb everything that my presence brings.
Kofi, how can you share that with others so we can show others how not to be so privileged, that privileged culture, and be more humble? What are you doing to expand that on others?
You mean what, like white privilege?
No, what
do you mean by privilege?
Like American privilege.
You know, the arrogance that Americans tend to have, you know.
Oh, yeah, they call it, you know, arrogance or racism. It's not racism. Racism has a different name to me. I call it Islander syndrome. They come here and they took the land, and so they have to act a certain way. If you go to China and you want to dominate China, are you going to walk around in peace? No, you can walk around with a gun. You can walk around with attitude. You can walk around with this privilege. Like, I own this now because I'm taking it from you, and I have to continue the same every day. I have to, and this is what's happening right now in America. People come here and they walk around with this arrogant attitude because they come to take the resources. They come to take advantage of us. They come to take the people. They don't come here looking to walk in peace.
Well,
you know I
does that make kind of little sense?
Yes.
And that presence that you have that other people receive as peaceful, I want you to continue that. And I really appreciate what you shared with us today. And hopefully
absolutely.
Someone will learn from that.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, people can tell when you're different. They can tell by a different facial expression, a different attitude. People will say sometimes, where are you from? If your behavior is not the typical, you know, American behavior, people will ask questions like, well, where are you from? Because
right.
you're not argumentative or cussing or, you know, whatever the thing is
right.
that they're
bling,
used
bling.
To.
Like, I went to Vegas once years ago, and the gentleman said, I know you ladies are from Chicago. And, you know, how do you know that? Because we had all the bling.
Yeah, people know you by certain things, absolutely.
Right.
So now, yeah, we've got area code 773-977 and then 443-244. You're next, so hold on. 777-977. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment.
Good morning. Good morning to all. This is Lois here in Chicago, Illinois, in the South Shore area, 2 blocks from Lake Michigan. You know, just being alive again today is a wonderful blessing for all of us, and And, you know, I'm glad that you came in, Naima, and told us about the experience in China. A lot of people didn't know that, and I had always planned to travel to China before I leave this world. I will never go to China. Thank you so much. I was told the same thing about Ghana. My daughter traveled there in Ghana. And she said, Mom, there's no way you could survive in Ghana. And lastly, I remember when I was about 12 years old, my parents, they would always travel to Mississippi. So one year we got to Mississippi, and we stayed in the house with about 14, 15 cousins. And we got ready to use the bathroom, and it took us about a block and a half from the house and told us we had to go in this little shutter, like, and there was nothing but a stool that was down in a hole, okay?
Yeah.
And they said that the witch doctor, they said that the witch doctor would come out there at nighttime. So I can remember as a little girl, I must have been about 8 or 9, I had to go to the washroom that night, and I was not going to that washroom. They had us all sleeping in the same bed. I took off my panties, and I got in that bed, and I and then I put my panties back on, and when we woke up the next morning, my aunt and uncle said, who went to bed? No. And they said, I know it wasn't Lois because her panties are dry. I was scared to go back out to that place. But anyway, they really saved me that day from getting a whooping. I was not going out there and let that witch doctor get me. So having a bathroom that you can flush and go when you get ready, you know, it's a blessing. I don't think I could live if I couldn't sit on the toilet. You know, I don't think I could make it in the hole, especially when you get a certain age. You know, oh, no. Thanks so much for this time, and God bless you all, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Love you. Bye.
Thank you, Lois. You know, something like a toilet, we take for granted, you know, but
I was an adult, but I was in my 20s, and I went south, and the house we stayed at, where most of the folks were my age were, and we had went out that night, and the bedroom that we were in actually was added on to the house to be the bathroom.
Wow.
But it was so many people living in the house, they just put beds in there. So they still had an outhouse.
Oh, wow.
So I was not familiar with that, and it was in the middle of the night, and it was time to go to the washroom.
Oh.
So at night, because the outhouse was so far out in the woods, they had slop jars.
Yes.
Called the slop jars, the bucket.
Yes,
that's you
use a bucket.
You know, I only stayed there that one night.
Yeah, I had that bucket experience too. When we went south to West Virginia, you know, to my mother's people, and yeah, they had the outhouse. But when it was night, you didn't go out to the outhouse. You used the bucket. So yeah, the slop jar. We got another caller here, Erico 443-224. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and where you're from, and give us your thoughts.
Yes, hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, my name is Jerome. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Jerome.
I just wanted
Jerome.
Hi there. I just wanted to transition from our bathroom experiences to to what we were talking about at the very beginning about conflict resolution and traveling. I remember specifically, I went to Uganda a few years ago, maybe about 4 years ago now, 4 or 5 years ago, and I was only there for a few days. But one of the things I remember there was that it was heavily. There was a little bit of traffic this particular day, and a lot of the people rode on motorcycles and small vehicles. And I remember this one guy had somebody on his motorcycle, and it seems like there was somebody else driving in front of him. And one of the parties cut the other one off.
Oh.
And so the guy got out of his car. The motorcyclist, he got off of his motorcycle. The guys looked at each other in the face. They had exchanged some words. They went, the guy got back into his car, the guy got back on his motorcycle, and then they just went about their business.
Oh.
Now you, yeah, I just thought that that was handled so well. I don't know what they said. They didn't, there was no fist fighting, there was no, you know, grabbing of weapons or anything like that. It just, it they handled it well. And,
so, Jerome,
you know,
where
I'm
you
just
from?
Well, I'm from Chicago. I'm from Chicago. I grew up here.
Okay.
I'm back here. And my other experience, dealing with this, the callers before, the male callers before, were talking about, let me call it colonialism, a form of colonialism. I'm coming over here. You know, I'm gonna dominate you. I'm gonna dominate the discussion. I'm gonna be loud. I'm gonna eat up all the food. You know, as we were talking, I come from the perspective that you should come humbly to a country, especially when you don't know, when you, even if you do have a lot of experience there, that you come humbly, you learn more. Nobody wants to be around somebody that, like, knows everything or is some unruly. That's obnoxious. Just like if somebody came in your neighborhood and did the same to you. You wouldn't want to associate with them nor discuss dialogue with them. And so I recall going to Istanbul, Turkey. I think I went in 2010. And the people, they're so-called, Islam or Muslim country, or they're partially Muslim. I think they're partially Muslim country. I will tell you that even in this country, we have unfairly looked at Muslim people and put them all in the same category as Saddam Hussein and the tall guy with the white turban. His name is escaping me right now. Osama bin Laden. These people are not like that. They are very nice people. I remember so many times they want to pull me aside and if you say no, it's like an insult. All they want to do is dialogue and fellowship with you. On two different occasions, people will pull me aside like I was some kind of relative of theirs, and hey, let's drink some tea. And all you do is just talk. They're just, well, I'm from here. I grew up here, and I did this, and this is my. So what do you do? This is what they're asking me, and so other instances where the people were just extremely nice, as if I were some kind of distant relative, like we were all at some family reunion or something, and we just, just got together and, just taking pictures. I mean, I had people wanting me to take pictures with them. I didn't even know these people.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, that's the
so
thing,
my life,
Yeah.
It's not such a hostile environment.
Right.
It's just an unknown environment.
Yeah.
So you keep your defenses up for a certain degree, but you don't be rude about how you travel through the country, even this country. You stop being rude, when you travel through your own house.
Right.
If I can interject this real quickly, and then I just wanted to say this. Now, I went over there with a group of people, and some of them were European in nature, okay? And they went over there with the conquest attitude, with this colonialism attitude, and they ran into some locals.
Mm.
And the locals chased them. The locals chased them and threw bottles at them and chased them. They didn't want to have nothing to do with those boys over there. But as far as I was concerned, I had no problem whatsoever. I mean, the worst experience that I had was somebody jumped in front of me in line because he wanted to I was at the cash exchange, and I was trying to get some of their money. I forgot what it's called. And somebody jumped in front of me,
currency.
That's like the worst thing that happened. But everything, so you can't go to countries like with this attitude. I mean, you can do it, but I don't think your experience will be optimal.
You're right. You don't have a good experience. That's right. with Jerome. We thank you for sharing your experience. We're going to take our last break and come right back. And
yeah,
if you're,
I got a lot of little stuff to talk about when we come back.
Yes.
So get some impactful information about gifting as you travel.
Ah, yes. Well, we will be right back after this quick break. And, of course, if you're listening online, want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. And we'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Devastated, yeah.
Yeah, we don't want that because somebody else could use it. I know in some of my understandings about folks who travel through the hostels, what they do is this one particular family, what they did was whatever they packed and they wore, they left those clothes there.
Wow.
And wherever they traveled to, they purchased more.
Mm.
You know, they just, except for what they had on their back and their personals, they just purchased more things. And that's how they traveled through the country.
Wow.
They didn't have a lot of luggage that they had to worry about. And they just went on and on. I know traveling through the United States, we always say there's always a Walmart in the area. There may not be a Walmart in other countries.
Yeah.
But if you do that throughout the United States, there's a Walmart. So this is one of the ways that they were able to comfortably travel through hostels. Without carrying a whole lot of luggage, because you don't want to carry a whole lot of luggage.
You don't. You don't have a lot of space. Yeah.
We can pack and we can overpack, and I think we're going
to
dedicate
a
whole show to packing.
How to pack. I used to do that all the time. I would overpack, and because I used to visit my sister in Boston every summer. My daughter and I, we'd go there and spend maybe a week or two, but I could never figure out what to pack, and so I'd end up taking almost all of the clothes in my closet. You know, oh, I might wear this, oh, I might need that, oh, I might wear these shoes. And, of course, you end up wearing the same three outfits every day. You know, I'm just packing all this stuff. So it took me some years to learn how not to overpack and carry, you know, five, six different pairs of shoes and, oh, I'll be there 2 weeks, so I need 14 outfits. No, you don't. You know, because you end up wearing the same thing every day.
No, not at all. And we used to do that even as we cruised some time ago. We would carry all of that, and we'd have our dress clothes and try to take the irons or the steamers that you should not carry.
Mm.
But now on the cruise lines, they have the laundromat.
Mm-hmm.
So you can wash the clothes. And most of the hotels, of course, they have the laundromat.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to carry dirty clothes home or you want to recycle, you know, we grew up learning how to wash our underwear.
Yeah. Yeah, it's real simple.
We already knew how to do that and roll it up in a towel to get the extra water out and then clean it up and then, you know, use the blow dryer,
mm-hmm.
the hair dryer to dry it. So, yeah, there are ways, but there's a few ways, things you should know about donating when you're traveling. And there is a website, intentionaltravelers.com. Intentional Travelers. There's like purposeful, but intentionaltravelers.com. And one of the ways they say is to just take cash.
Mm.
You know, take cash where it's an easy donation. You're already carrying it. It's not a lot. And a cash goes a long way. Now, when you are traveling and you don't want to really get into changing the money, American money is good most places.
Mm-hmm.
Traveler's checks, although they don't use them as often, but you can still use traveler's checks as well.
Now, what about a lot of these electronic systems now, everything from Zelle to, you know, Cash App, you know, where you can transfer things electronically. Are more places overseas open to that? Because I know a lot of people have gotten to the point that they don't carry cash at all. They just got, you know, either a card or their cell phone. They just, you know, electronic transfers for everything.
Don't hold a lot of weight to the electronics. What if the satellite falls out the sky? What if there's not a backup? What if your phone, you lose your phone? What if you can't charge your phone? You know, something happens to your phone, you drop it, and now the charger connection doesn't work.
Ooh.
You can't recharge your phone. Although now they have where you can lay your phone on top of certain things and it charges. But what if? That's like having your boarding pass
on your phone
only. Okay, you're at the gate, and now the connection is bad.
Ooh.
lot of things.
Don't overly rely on electronics, because sometimes the internet's not working, the signal's bad, your phone malfunctions, you know, all these things. And people don't think about that stuff. These things are not
confirmation numbers.
Yeah.
Write them down on a little notepad.
Yeah.
Because you can get somewhere and they don't see your reservation.
Mm.
Then what are you going to go by? Yeah, you got it on your email, sure. But what if you can't get to your email? You've got that reservation number.
Yeah.
That is so crucial to have a plan B and a plan C nowadays.
Paper still works, yes.
I've not tested on Zelle and Cash App and PayPal, although some of them, I know PayPal is a European base, but I'm not sure of how it connects with who you want to give to.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we talked about tipping, you tip the person who cleans your room, or you tip the person who helps you with your bag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all from cash.
Right, you got to have cash for that.
So you give them cash, and you give them as you see is most comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So cash is good. Now, be careful with cash, because folks are knocking in you in your head.
Yeah, so small bills is best to have.
Yeah.
Another thing about cash, you know, and I know people like to impress people, but it's not wise to be flashing big bills. It just isn't, you know, because you don't know what robbers and muggers you're attracting by, you know, pulling hundreds out of your wallet. That's not wise. You know, just if you're going to be flashing money, it might be ones and fives, you know.
Have them over in this pocket, have some in that pocket, have some in that bag, have some inconspicuously packed somewhere, you know, creative, but don't have all your eggs in one basket, because if that basket gets a hole in it and those eggs
gone.
Fall out, what do you have carry on?
Mm-hmm.
Carry two credit cards. You know, a lot of people carry, like that MasterCard or the big card that they travel with, carry two, because one gets deactivated. You could be traveling, and if you contact your credit card company, and they see a lot of exchanges going on,
they'll freeze it
down.
Yeah, that happened to an associate of mine the other day.
And you're somewhere. Yeah. So, carry two.
And you're in a restaurant, and they come back and say, I'm sorry, your card is invalid. You're all embarrassed. Yeah, you don't want that.
No.
Yeah.
Just pull out the other one.
Yeah.
And, you know, figure out what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, going back to gifting, there are so many organizations that will accept and go by what you are looking to help with. I like to always say, follow your professional path. Say if you're an educator, or you're in the medical profession, or you're a contractor, reach out to those like-minded people. And if you don't know how to reach out to them, there's always an American consulate, or they always have a business leadership, or the travel and tourism department will be able to connect you together. And then you reach out to that same component in that other country or that other part of the United States or the world and see what they have going on, see what kind of campaign they got going on, what their needs are, and then follow through, especially if you got a group traveling. And it doesn't have to be something tangible. It could be sweat equity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could build a shelter one day or repair a bridge. You know, what is your profession? And utilize that. Keep it all in realm. Now, if you do want to take some tangible items, clothes, and understand your baggage allowance when you're flying or when you're in a train or however, understand how much room you've got, or if you have to carry extra baggage, and don't overweigh your baggage. Invest in you a scale, a luggage scale.
Mm.
They don't cost that much, and they will save you from anguish. So when you're checking in, you got to the airport a little late, and you're trying to check in and check your bag, and it overweight, and now they're going to either charge you an absorbent amount of money, and that's each way,
mm-hmm.
or you've got to figure out how to take some things out to make that bag lighter. Invest in your scale and weigh your bag before. Wear your heavier items. If you're going to have heavy shoes on or boots, wear them so they're not in your luggage. And you don't have to have every fill of boots in the because you're
going to
be gone for a while.
Yes, yeah, I mean,
and
shoes are heavy.
If you're going to go somewhere that's going to stop, allow for that.
Mm.
Because a lot of times we go to other places to shop.
And then we got all the, and they don't fit in our suitcase. So it pays to maybe fold up another travel bag or something in anticipation that you're going to have another bag full of stuff that you bought.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Just think about it. Your luggage pretty much now fits inside of each other.
Yeah.
So if you have, you pack one luggage inside, you can put your things all around on the inside
and
of
the
smaller
luggage
and on the outside of the smaller luggage, inside of the larger one.
Mm-hmm.
Just put it in plastic bags if you worry about germs from the previous travels or something of that, or clean your luggage. But just be aware of what your purpose is.
Right.
Be purposeful. Make sure that you can carry certain things. Now, you might carry fruit or food or plant trees or something like that. Just know that you cannot agricultural items.
Can't bring back fresh fruit and stuff. So you can't do it in your luggage either, not your carry-on or your luggage, right? Because I know when I was coming from overseas and they were asking, do you have any produce, do you have any,
you're going over, you don't have to go through protocol.
Mm-hmm. Customs, yeah, because you have to answer all those questions and you have to.
From another country into the United States, no. You cannot bring anything, even Hawaii, there's a customs. Even though Hawaii is part of the United States,
mm-hmm.
you cannot bring or take over anything.
Any food
like
products.
That, no fruit, any living things of that nature.
Yeah.
It is against the rules.
Yeah.
And share your calls. Share it with your group. Say you're traveling with a group. Get together for your calls. What is your cause? What are you trying to do in addition to travel and have fun? And reach out to the, take pictures, record what you do, record who you are and what you do and going back and forth.
It is so easy now.
So.
Because you got video and photos on your cell phone, so it's so easy now, whereas before you had to have camera equipment. Now you just got to have your cell phone. Just make sure you have the cords and the plugs to keep it charged, because you definitely don't want to be somewhere and your phone is dead and there's no electricity.
And it happens. So that's another thing. Carry a pack, a power pack.
Yeah.
They come in all sizes. They come in all strengths. I have a couple of them that I carry. And one is a solar.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to get one too. I've seen the solar-powered ones. Definitely a good investment.
Yes. So these are some of the things. It is so many opportunities, even if you're traveling within the United States. Look at the volunteerism that is available now to only do they need with the big commercial locations, but the smaller communities.
So I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. You know, there are people who will go for, you know, some humanitarian reasons. Sometimes they go with an organization, which I always recommend because they'll give you guidelines. But sometimes you're going to a place with the intention of helping, and they've had a disaster. So what tips would you give to somebody who is going to a place that maybe have had a hurricane and the people don't have basic things, you know, water, you know, drinkable water, you know, food that is non-perishable because maybe there is no electricity? What kinds of things should people pack if they're going to go on that kind of a mission of mercy where there are no comforts when you get there? You're going to help. How should they, you know,
basic,
prepare?
Well, your basic, now, are you saying what should you pack for your own personal
use? Right, for your own self. I mean, you might be going with a group that's going to deliver water or, you know, supplies or food, but sometimes people don't think, you know, they're not going to be like regular toilet facilities. They're not going to be, you know, water. They're not going to have refrigeration. So they might not be thinking in terms of their own needs. Look, these things aren't there. We're bringing them stuff, but we won't have it either while we're there. So,
that's right.
Yeah.
So make sure that you have things that you need to live
paper.
For yourself.
Yeah.
Your own, you know, make sure you have your own toilet paper. Make sure you have your own cleaning supplies for not only your body, but for others, you know, because somebody else may not have it either. Collapsible water bottles are a good investment.
Collapsible.
They are an investment. They are more expensive, but they take up little space. So get the collapsible water containers, and then wherever you get to, have them. Make sure you take food that is
non-perishable. If you take a can, make sure you got a can opener. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to have a can opener. You're not going to have a skillet. You may not have fire.
Right.
And you don't want to really carry that, depending on how you're traveling.
Mm-hmm.
If you could carry a little sterno, because you can't, if you're just, you know, on a bus with a whole lot of other people or something, you don't want to carry a sterno in your personal items.
Right.
Because what if it leaks out?
Ooh,
you know?
Yeah. So you got to think in terms of food that doesn't require refrigeration or cooking.
Yes, instant food.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of them. There's a plethora of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need flavor in your water. Take the little Kool-Aid packet or the tea packet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get them $1 for 10 of them and have them. Tea bags. Carry your own tea bags. If you have a special sweetener that you need, they have the individual packages. Carry them. Carry the hand wipes.
Yeah, hand wipes. Yeah.
Sanitizer is good.
But you want to wipe.
But hand wipes, because you have hand sanitizer, you got a lot of dust on your hands.
Yeah, it doesn't go anywhere.
Hand sanitizers just make mud.
Ooh.
But the hand wipe, the baby wipe,
yeah.
Your body.
Get hand,
if
get good baby
no
wipe.
Water to rinse off soap.
Yeah.
Then you still got to get clean, so
right.
Use baby wipes.
Yeah.
You know, things that are not acidity to your body. You know, the toiletries, they sell them all day long and take extras.
Yes.
You know, for other people or that you can leave, you know.
Yes.
We have a homeless community that you can do something right here right in your own hometown.
Yes.
And there are homeless people. I have not went anywhere just yet and haven't seen where somebody was not homeless.
Yep. They have people.
There are homeless people everywhere.
Yes.
And they all need the whenever I get toothbrushes and whatnot, I get the big 10-pack.
Mm-hmm.
and a little toothpaste. And now they're Take alcohol pads with you and bandages.
Yes.
And, you know, these are small items that you should always have packed in a vehicle.
Yes.
Anyway,
yes.
I think anybody who has a vehicle should have some of these items.
Have a little emergency kit. Yes.
You never know
where
you're going to be or what you're going to be in tune to.
Right.
So, yeah, just sit back. Don't pack a lot. Don't overpack. But have these specific instant coffee. Some folks can't do without their coffee. Instant coffee.
Yeah, if you know that's you, you got to have your morning cup of coffee. Bring your own and your water.
If that's what's going to tone you down, make sure you bring your coffee. So it can be done.
Mm.
We can live off the grid. People live off the grid all day long.
Yeah, it's doable. You just have, and I think it's a good experience, especially for children, if they have a experience camping. You really need to have the experience of being able to survive with nothing. No
matches.
Yeah, matches. Because you need fire. You need to know how to make a fire. You know.
If you don't have matches, some steel wool and a battery.
Ooh, that's a good one. Or what, a magnifying glass so you can use the sun and create heat. So, like L.A. was talking about the chopping wood. You know, if you are from the city, you might not know anything about how to build a fire to heat up food. You really need to have that camping experience so that you understand that if you have to survive and there's no electricity, you have to know how to use what is on the ground. That's
right.
What it takes.
We've come to the end of our show today.
Yes, we love you.
We thank you for being here. And we'll be back next month. We're going to be talking about
Seven Principles on Facebook page.
Yes, Kwanzaa. And
we're going to be talking about life.
Yes.
January. I know Kwanzaa is December 26th, but Kwanzaa is all year round.
That's right.
Hello.
Principles to live by, that's what they're supposed to be, those seven principles. And if we live by them, then our lives would be so much easier. And for those who just don't remember there's Moja, Unity, Kujichagulia, Self-Determination, Ujima, Collective Work and Responsibility, Ujamaa, Cooperative Economics, Nia, Purpose, Kumba, Creativity, and Imani, Faith. So there it is.
Yes.
Live it every day.
Every day. And it doesn't matter what nationality, religion, color, creed.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Russia.
It's not exclusive.
Germany. Okay.
That's right.
It's the principles for any human to live by. And we get those extraterrestrial people, we're going to share that with them too.
Well, you know, they're probably already living it. We behind.
Yes, they are.
They are. They already doing it. They say, it's about time you all caught up.
Right. We got to come down there and teach y'all something.
That's right. So join us next time for the Female Solution Universal Global Radio TV show. We all around the world and the universe.
Yes. Don't forget to tune in every day, Monday through Sunday.
That's right.
We're here to share with you
the
possibilities of peace and the mercy
of God. That's right.
Love you.
See you next time. See you tomorrow on Soul Purpose.